you could say, well, the moment you had faith, well, if you've been studying with me, you know I'm not that kind of a guy. And the Bible isn't that kind of a book. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. It doesn't mean you need to work to be saved. But your salvation entails, like, this story about you and your deeds and your exploits. The thing, I mean, you know, it is your salvation. Your life is your salvation. When you're raised from the dead, that is the pinnacle, that is the peak of the, that is where you get, and all the way along the way, you're working towards the point. When you finish your life, and then you will be raised from the dead. That's what you're working towards. So, in working towards that, we have this, all these things going on, repentance, you know, from sin or from whatever, you know, but the sorrow works it. And I've seen that so many times. It's, there's absolute sorrow and affliction in that brings about change. Getting ripped to pieces in your heart changes you. I know it's changed me. Every big change in my life came about right after an intense, emotionally wrenching experience. Every single change. Everything that was really good for me came about through emotional turmoil. And intense. Because some people would say, well, it's the intensity. You know, the worldly sorrow is too intense. I mean, you're losing your faith somehow. I think it is a different kind of sorrow. Because it works death. It's the sorrow of, let's say, like you hear the gospel, like you say, like here's some worldly sorrow. Let's say I'm someone who thinks I believe in Jesus. But the only reason I think that is because I was raised in a local Lutheran church, let's say. I'm just picking them randomly. It could be anything, Baptist, whatever. I'm raised in a local Christian church. Let's just keep it non-sectarian, right? Just Christian. You know, I went to classes on Sunday or Saturday if it was maybe Adventist, whatever. I grew up in this faith. They put me through all their little steps. They put me in a little suit, gave me my first communion or confirmation or whatever little ritual they do, or maybe none at all. Maybe they didn't, you know, maybe some churches, I know lots of Protestants, they don't go through coming of age rituals like the Catholics do. But it could be anyone, you know, you went through all the, your parents put you through the church thing. And you knew from early on, you were a churchist. You know, you had your Baptist, Protestant, whatever you were. I'm a Lutheran. I'm a Lutheran. You know, didn't mean nothing to you, but you believed it in a sort of superstitious kind of way. You know, you wouldn't say, I piss on Christ and everything he stands for, or anything like that. You would mouth that, you know, or maybe you have, and then maybe later in life you decided, well, you know, maybe my faith was kind of shallow. So you heard Billy Graham preaching and you decided, yeah, I'm going to go forward just as I am and receive Jesus. Right? And now you think, well, now I'm saved. Right? But you're still the same guy. You haven't received the Holy Ghost. You haven't really, you know, you still go out and enjoy some drinking, you know, go watch the football game, have a few beers with your buddies. Maybe on some nights you have a few beers. Maybe you still smoke pot. You know, maybe, you know, you like watching R-rated movies with little nudity in it. You know? Your wife doesn't mind. She knows that's just the way guys are, right? You know? Yeah, you're overweight. You eat too much. Right? You kind of just eat whatever you please and it shows. But that's all right. You believe in Jesus. You're saved. Then along someone comes, a preacher of righteousness, who tells you temperance. Add to your faith patience, to your patience virtue, to your virtue kindness, to your kindness patience, temperance, self-control, godliness. Put away the filthiness of the flesh. Turn your eyes away from evil. Right? And this comes to you. And it can work two different things in you. It can work godly sorrow. You're right. I'm so sad that I've been such a careless Christian, or however you want to characterize it. I'm sad because I should be doing better. Or you could be sad like this. I'm sad because I love pizza. And I love R-rated movies. And I love my pleasures and sins. And I don't want to give it up. And it makes me sad to think that I'll have to give that up. Or maybe he'll just get angry. Say, I don't have to. In fact, that's usually the reaction of people in that situation. Is they get angry. I don't have to do that. I don't have to be that. Billy Graham said. He said when I received that from that moment. Yeah, go and live a better life. But it's not required. It's just a, you know, you should. Yeah, I know. I should. But, you know, God doesn't expect us to be perfect. That's because they're not studying, they haven't been taught Christianity from the apostles of Christianity, Paul, Peter, James, John, Jude, Bartholomew, and the rest. No, they haven't learned Christianity from them. They've learned Christianity from the apostles of the devil, who leave out the most important details. And when you sorrow after a godly sorrow, what happens? It works things. What carefulness. Care. They take care for important things and details which matter to your salvation. Indignation at those who pervert God's word. What indignation? How they have led me astray. Fear. Oh. What if I don't do this? I won't inherit eternal life. I want to inherit eternal life. Vehement desire. It's right in there as far as I'm concerned. Let's see.